Slanke Danke.
Morning! Actually, it's more like good noon. Welcome to episode 59,082. Actually, it's actually only 82. I don't know why I stuck
with
50.
We're good like that. 59,000 episodes and 82.
82nd episode of the Try Games Night podcast. I'm your host, Austin, a.k.a. Mr. Chupon. And I'm here with one other horse in the stable because the other one is out sick or... No, he's managing some matters. So we bid Tony a good week this week, and we are joined by ourselves. Ourself would be me and who?
The Antipode.
And nobody else. Okay, so we've got GDC this week. We're not going to focus our topics on this because you guys have sent in nice questions about it. So there are some things that we will talk about and then other non-GDC things that we will talk about. But first, as usual, what have you been playing, Al?
I've been playing Phoenix Wright, Ace Attorney, Justice for All.
Objection!
I completed it, and I feel very good.
That beautiful.
Last case was a mother and a half. It is so good.
Okay, so it's good, and it's not like one of those things that just goes over long and is really hard for the sake of being really hard.
Oh, it goes over long, but it goes over long for a reason.
Right. I should have said it doesn't go too long, as in you get sick of it.
No. The entire premise of the fourth case makes it well worth its length, because it's pretty long because of certain things in the case that need to be done. But the concept and the idea, I was like, oh my goodness, the person who wrote this needs an Emmy. Because the case was just excellent. It was just the perfect way to end the Phoenix Wright saga, because of course the third one is a prequel. It was the perfect way to end it.
That's
what I have to say about it. I played some Zack and Wiki one of these nights over the week because I was not feeling too well, and I woke up in the middle of the night, couldn't go back to sleep.
Ouch.
And I managed to finally pass the stupid puzzle that has been bugging me for like a month, because I'm stupid. Because when I realized
you
how to
are.
Do it, shut up.
When yes, you are. It, you stupid, aren't you? Woogie, woogie, woo.
Shut the fuck up. So, when I realized how to do it, I was like, oh my god, I couldn't believe I couldn't really solve this before.
It's like a Zelda thing, right? Like, that always happens to me in games like Zelda and those other types of games, like Prince of Persia Zelda.
Yeah, it's like one of those like tough Zelda puzzles. Like, I was stuck on the puzzle to get the Master Sword in Twilight Princess.
And oh, that was so random. I hated that one.
That was a really fucked up puzzle. But this one here in Zack and Wiki is like a ice level. It's the boss at ice level, if anybody has it or played it. And basically the premise about it is that there's this big like ice lion head, and it's blowing ice. And it captured Wiki. And what you have to do is you have to save Wiki by destroying the lion head.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a whole bunch of like platforms or pedestals. Like 9 pedestals or something like that, or 12, I forget how many. And there's a light beam. And so when you shoot the light beam the first time, it just has a straight shot, and it shows you basically that you're supposed to beat this thing by shooting light into the face. To, I guess, maybe heat it up.
By the way, please don't give away the solution, because I do have it, and I do plan on playing it. Okay,
trust me.
Good.
That's just the no-brainer part. But then after that, he starts putting obstacles in the way, and you have to figure out how to get that light beam to the face. And that's where it got really tough for me, and then I figured it out, and then now I'm in this fire level, which I don't know. I just feel like scared to play it because
no, I heard it gets really brutal and like and taunts your brain.
Yeah, that's just what I'm scared of. So I'm taking it slowly. I played something else. Oh, I was playing Devil's Crush when I was bored too. Devil's Crush is fun, but I wasn't really feeling too well.
Devil's Crush or Aliens Crush, if you had to pick one?
I would pick... if I had a lot of time, I'd pick Alien Crush, because I own that game. I could stay playing that game for like 6 hours straight. But Devil's Crush is a lot harder because of how everything moves around and the obstacles and shit. I really haven't had much time playing anything else because of work. So that's all I've been playing. Oh, and I've been playing Warcraft, but sparingly this
really?
Week. Yeah, really.
You but play really WoW?
Shut up.
That's strange. I don't know anyone who plays WoW.
Except, oh my
goodness. Except for 10 million people.
Yeah. And I wish I'd turned on my 360 this week, but I didn't.
Jesus fuck nuts. How fast did it like jump from 8 to 10 million?
No, it took a long time.
Really? Because I remember, fast. I remember, I was born, and then, 20 years later, Warcraft came out, and then, 5 years later, they had 8 million, and then a day later, they had 10 million.
No, it was more like when the game came out, I think, after the first 6 months or 8 months or a year, then they had 8 million. And then
really?
A year and a half, yeah. And then a year and a half later, that's when they had the 10 million. They didn't get the 10 million until after the expansion came out, a few months after that.
All right, but I remember it not taking that long. I don't know, whatever. Wow.
Whoa.
Wow. Whoa.
Yeah, I think it didn't take long to get to 8 million because it was new and everybody was buying it.
World of Warcraft.
And people were buying 2 and 3 copies each.
For dual boxing and shit?
Yeah, and for buying accounts for their family members or buying accounts for themselves, acting like it's for their family members.
Oh, isn't that fake sweet? I have only been playing, well, not only, but mostly have been playing still Bomberman Land for Review. I can't sit through that for more than an hour and not go insane.
Mm-mm.
Because like I told you, it's just a bunch of mini games.
Right.
And you don't even play minigames for 40% of the time. The other 40% you're wandering around and like I said, you're answering stupid questions. There are some little fetch quest elements that, you know, you go to a restaurant and you buy foods and you give it to this guy who wants to taste test and shit, and then depending on if you give him the right thing, he'll give you some money with which you can buy some other shit, which mm-hmm. aren't the pieces that you need to open up the land, but some other random shit that sunglasses, because they're so important. actually, you do need certain clothing to open up some of the areas.
Okay.
So I mean, at least that's there. And I spent most of my time on the casino minigames just making money, because thankfully in this game the house it's not that the house always wins. It's the other way around.
Always win.
Yeah.
The casino doesn't make any money.
Exactly. So, the majority of the time in the game, you will beat out the casino depending on which games you play. And that's so, good. So it doesn't make it too hard for you to actually earn money. And obviously, this is geared for kids. So, but, they're games those stupid machines where you use the claw to pick up something in the bin.
Oh, and then the you drop you it down into the chute.
Huh?
The ones that you just never win at?
Yeah. You go for, the gold watch in a little plastic container, and you come out with like a stuffed animal.
Yeah,
if at all,
nothing, an empty claw,
or an empty claw. Yeah, so they have that, and they have the what's it called? You know that game that in Six Flags or wherever that you take the hammer or any carnival, you take the hammer and you just slam it onto this stupid thing, and it shows you how hard you hit.
Oh yeah.
They have that except
test of strength.
Yeah, they have that except they don't. They don't give you money based on how hard you hit. The placements are random. So it might be that you'll get 50 pieces of bomb, which is their currency, which is really lame. But you might get 50 bomb if you hit it very lightly one turn. And then you might get 50 bomb if you hit it very hard. So they mix up the numbers. So I must have spent half an hour while I was watching TV just sitting in front of the strength meter and just doing that over and over and over and over again to get the money. And I'm like, this is much more fun than the regular minigames.
Is there a variable meter that you have to hit at the right spot?
Yeah.
I thought it was I didn't think, but I remotely thought that it was touch sensitive. The harder you hit the DS, the harder you hit the touch screen.
Well, it's a PSP.
Oh, I'm sorry. It's on PSP. Harder you hit the PSP, so you throw it up against the wall.
According I said last week, according to Frank, the DS version is actually good, so I probably wouldn't be bitching about it as much if I was playing the DS version, but I'm playing PSP version. And he says I should be thankful that I don't have to play the Wii version because he says that's even worse. But
goodness.
No, it's like they give you 20, 30, 40, and 50, and they scramble those up. So mm-hmm. and so that in that way, there's such a good chance of you getting some money back that I just kind of sat there and just kept on doing it over and over and over again. The one saving grace, though, is that's saving this from being a totally abysmal game is the fact that they have, you know, the full traditional Bomberman attached to it, but not just Bomberman, but they have, I think they have like 5 or 6 different maps. I have to count them. They're different maps, and some of them you can like hide in pipes from bombs. They have 5 or 6 different modes where you either just try to kill them as many as possible. It's like Smash Brothers in that you either get a stock or you just try to compete to see who kills more. Right. There are also modes where you have to collect stars, which randomly appear on the field. Whenever you get bombed, you give up like half your stars, and they get scattered around. So other people try to get them. There are other modes where you have to, I believe, wear like a crown, kind of like King of the Hill. You have to wear a crown for the longest amount of time, and stuff like that. So basically, it's actually worth buying. Like I said last week, I wouldn't recommend it. Right. Now, and after having played the traditional mode, if you do not own a portable Bomberman, you should buy the game and totally ignore the single player. Because there's no reason to play the single player. It's absolute shit.
Yeah, just like something else I know.
What is it?
Oh, we'll save that.
Oh, okay,
later.
You're going to go bag of shit? Okay. And then I picked up Guitar Hero 3 yesterday just on a whim, and I tried to play through the Fire and Flames. And I still fail it, but I failed it at 81% instead of 4% now, so I'm happy.
Yeah, shit, I'm happy for you. I can't even get the song unlocked.
Oh, shit, because you have to beat fucking what's-its-fuck.
Cheater.
Cheater?
I have to beat Cheater.
The devil went down on your mama. But
whoa. There's and that that's one, how you but, came but into you, this world.
You heard about how to beat him, though, right?
No.
Like, consistently?
No.
You have
I
to,
haven't heard anything. I kind of, like, gave up, but I wouldn't mind hearing it.
Well, for
strategy.
You and for anyone else who's listening who doesn't know how to beat him yet, you first... note where he has this long string of green notes that he has to play in rapid succession. It's somewhere in the middle. It's somewhere near the beginning, but close to the middle of the song after your first hard solo, I believe. You have to make sure that you know where it is. It's a long stream of green notes that he has to play ultra fast. Now, before that, your solo takes place, and the first, I believe the first... 3 runs in your solo nets you a power-up, okay? So the power-up has to be either the broken string for the green button or something like that. Like, it can't be
amp overload.
Yeah, because, like, it's not going to matter. I mean, it's all green notes. Right. So I think the best bet you have is broken string. I don't know if double hurts it because it might just make him play a chord, which won't be a big deal for him.
But broken string, it would have to be you have to be lucky enough to get it on the green.
Right. So what's the other one that you need to use the whammy bar to restore your stuff?
It's whammy.
Okay, whammy. So whammy is your best bet, and then broken string if you get it on green. So you have to get the whammy, right? And as soon as he starts playing that string of notes, you hit it right there. And because there's so many notes that he has to play so fast, he's going to miss like half of them, and that's going to drain him, and it's going to kill him.
Well, if it's whammy, he's going to miss them all.
Or all, yeah. And after that, then you just have to survive the last like 1 minute part. Because after you beat him, they have this stupid thing where you still have to play him out.
Oh, my goodness. I can't even play half the song.
It should be easy enough for you to get... at that point, you just have to be really careful.
Right. I just have
it's
to
it's yeah. It's not a cake. It's not a cakewalk by any means, but it's much easier than the rest of the song. Mm-hmm. So, but yeah, those are the 2 things I'm playing because I'm boring. I didn't even pop in NBA 2K7 this week.
Oh yeah, you know I did play for a couple of minutes before my battery started dying. I need a new DS bad.
Shit.
Well, I actually need a new DS battery, but I would much rather have a new DS.
Right.
You know how that goes? Yeah. I was playing Final Fantasy 3.
Oh, shit.
I never finished it. I'm at the end. I never finished it. So I played for a couple of minutes, and I got the last couple of jobs, and now I'm like, damn it. Now I gotta go and grind these jobs.
And actually beat this guy, yeah.
Now, I could theoretically go with the jobs that I have, but I really, really wanted... Knight, Ninja, Devout, and either a Sage or a Summoner. I'm probably going to do Summoner over Sage because...
Oh, so you're going to get the class and then you're going to have to level that up right after you get it.
Yeah, I just got them. I got the ninja, the devout, the summoner, the sage,
ninja vanish,
magus. You know, all of those like the top level classes, and so you know they suck at level one. So I got to get them to like around like I guess
Ralph Nader enters. That's great. Something. Sorry, I was opening up a new browser window and they said they had a big picture of Ralph Nader.
Oh boy. Well, let's get to the news.
We be at news. Some GDC, some not. And the first one comes from ExtremeTech.com by Joel Durham Jr. So that rumor that reported last week of a new consortium or a new alliance to save PC gaming is true. Joel says, with every new generation of headline-grabbing game consoles, rumors of the demise of the PC gaming snowball out of control. The fact is, according to data presented by a new advocacy group called the PC Gaming Alliance, PC gaming is actually growing and owns about 30% of the overall gaming market. The goal of the PCGA, PCGA, a nonprofit consortium of game developers and publishers, including Activision and Epic, hardware manufacturers, OEMs, including Dell, NVIDIA, AMD, Intel, and Acer, and the mighty Microsoft itself, is to make the end user experience easier and to advocate the PC as a solid and superior gaming platform. According to the PCGA's press release, research firm DFC Intelligence calls PC gaming, quote, one of the fastest growing segments of the interactive entertainment market, end quote. So its demise is an apparent exaggeration, as it always turns out to be when a new wave of consoles triggers speculation of its untimely death. The PCGA intends to help both game developers and PC gaming consumers to enjoy easier, less confusing experience. I don't know how that's possible, but okay.
Mm-hmm.
It plans to tackle issues such as the messy myriad of system requirements to make them easier for consumers to understand what to expect of a game's performance on their particular equipment. Think of games like Crysis that practically take a Skull Trail system to hop along at a decent frame rate on high detail settings.
But on, wait, can I interrupt for a second?
No!
Yes. Yeah. Shut up. It sounds like the Vista thing.
Yeah,
like,
I know.
This you have a Vista ready system.
Rating
you
5, yeah.
Vista rating of X. X meaning you can run anything on this computer.
Yeah, I don't know. They got to think about that because I don't know what they can do. But.
And then on top of that, I mean, yeah, Crysis requires a monster of a computer's son. And it's like, that's not going to stop a user from going to buy Crysis and installing it on their computer and going, oh my god, this game sucks. It runs at 2.5 frames per second. I mean, well, are you going to try and make the developers tone down the games as an effort to advocate PC gaming?
I think what they're saying is just like the Windows Vista thing. They're going to say, look, this is what your system needs to be to run this and make it more prominent so that people don't buy it by accident, go out, and then fuck it up and then say it's bullshit, this game sucks. When it doesn't suck, they just need better hardware. You know what I mean?
Okay.
It's about informing. And again, they're doing this with games for Windows. With the whole 5 rating, 4, 3, 2, and 1. And,
right.
I don't know. I don't think that's helped.
I mean, my computer's a negative 3.
Here's some more things. To help developers target various segments based on market saturation of various PC components. Aha, okay. To provide guidance in fighting rampant PC gaming piracy without ruining the experience for the end user, and more. While it won't aim for a labeling program, which is what Games for Windows is, what it does provide is a common forum for the many competing publishers and manufacturers to get together for the cause of pushing PC gaming. As of yet, the PCGA doesn't have any concrete plans. Discussion during the announcement indicated that it planned to offer guidance to developers, OEMs, consumers, and other parties with interest in the PC gaming, in the PC as a gaming platform. But the presentation didn't specify how it plans to get the word out. It's off to a strong start and needs a great deal more of the industry players to join before it has a chance to be taken seriously. It needs to gain a method of promoting its cause. Well, okay, he's talking about marketing and shit. But yeah, I wish him the best. I don't feel like I know exactly how it's going to work.
Yeah, me neither. But I'm all for advocating PC gaming because it has been shat on for a while.
You've been shitted on.
Shattered on. And it does deserve its time to shine. hopefully this consortium will take care of that.
I think they need to start with the whole hardware shit, because there is a PC in almost every house. Mm-hmm. I know there was a stat like a couple of years ago that 1/3 of every household has a PC in it, and that's a lot.
Oh yeah.
And I don't know if that's grown or shrunk. That can't have shrunk. That's grown. People use this shit for iTunes and shit, you know. And
oh yeah,
they use it. They learn how to use it. So what needs to happen is the hardware and the software really need to kind of converge and say and agree upon, okay, look, we're not going to throw out games that require $600 video cards. We're going to throw out games that look pretty but don't require. World of Warcraft is one example of why it's so fucking successful, right? You don't need a really powerhouse system to run it, I'm assuming.
No, you don't. I've spent years playing this game and it's never really ran as well as I wanted it to. But it's run well enough for me to play it for 2.5 years.
Right. And then you've got games that come on GameTap like Sam and Max. I'm pretty sure that doesn't require like a heavy, you know, disgusting monster of a system.
I doubt it at all.
And like, I know that the argument is that, well, then you can't really compete with the hardcore games. Let that market exist, but push more of the simpler shit, you know? Push stuff like Sam and Max. Push games that run like World of Warcraft. I'm pretty sure that Portal, I don't know about this, but I think Portal is not supposed to be that system intensive. I could be wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody correct me. Somebody who's played Portal, please let me know on the PC. But yeah, push more of that shit and get the word out there that you have a PC that you use for iTunes. You don't need to upgrade it. And on that end, the hardware manufacturers need to start standardizing more powerful graphics. You know? But, you know, like, NVIDIA just came out with its 9600 GT or whatever that costs, $180. Good start. Make one that comes out for like, $120 that manufacturers can you know, buy in bulk for less of a cost so that they charge less, you know, when they sell a PC. So that they're basically not selling a PC saying, here's a $500 PC, you can make it into a $650 PC when you buy this card. No. If they buy in bulk, they should be able to say, here, for $600. You know, cut off $50 here and there. I don't know. I don't know if they're going to agree to that, though, because PC manufacturers, I doubt they like to take losses like Sony and Microsoft do. So, I don't know. I'm not in charge of it, so I don't care. Moving on. WiiWare and Wii Fit coming to the U.S. in May. Are you going to get Wii Fit?
Before Mario Kart.
Before Mario Kart, that's right.
And yet, everybody else is getting Mario Kart before us.
Ugh, I don't understand that. But maybe yay, Wii Fit. I do understand, I just don't care to. I said I do understand, I just don't care to. They probably just want to hit this market first and hard with Wii Fit. With all the soccer moms.
True. I was thinking maybe it was an online playtesting issue because US is so big, but
maybe that too.
Maybe.
But yay, Wii Fit. Anybody who's getting Wii Fit and why, you can feel free to write in and tell me why I'm not going to get it. I'm not going to get it until there's an actual game.
Apparently, there's going to be 10 of them coming out, according to Reggie.
Yay. Thanks, Reggie. Thanks for the... there will be tons of games down the pipeline after WarioWare Smooth moves. Uh-huh. Crickets. Dust Ball. Desert. Nothing until, like, August. But, No, I mean, I'm talking about, like, give me Tony Hawk or, like... Or like SSX with the freaking balance board. That kind of game. Not like Wii Play or Fit Play or some bullshit like that. Gears of War 2, November of 2008. Yay.
Yay.
That's all I really care to say because I like it. And yay. This is from Kish Kohler in Game Life. He says, Microsoft made it official at GDC. Gears of War 2 is coming exclusively to 360 this summer, this November. While there haven't been any details released about the game as of yet, Epic Games chief tech genius Tim Sweeney took the stage to show off some of the new features of the new engine, like better shadows and highlights and yada, 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 yada. Okay, great. Thank you.
Sweet.
What'd you say?
Sweet.
Oh, sweet. And here's some more information about WiiWare from Kotaku's Luke Plunkett. He says, wanting a little more meat on your WiiWare's info's bones? Nintendo of America's Tom Prata, nice name, has got your back.
Is that a real Prata bag?
He finally disclosed some of the more intimate details regarding the service. While we still don't know how much games are going to cost or which games exactly are going to be available at launch, Excuse me. Excuse you. Mm-hmm. We do know now a whole bunch of other shit. I said shit. He says stuff. First thing, 100 games. Right. Prada says that there should be around 100 games available when the service launches on May 12th. But there's a catch. They won't all be available at once, with Nintendo choosing to adopt a virtual console-style delivery method and only deliver a few titles at a time. So they're not available then.
I mean, he should have said that there are 100 titles
in development ready. But they're not available.
But I would much rather I would much rather have a slow leak than to have 100 games available. Choose them now.
I honestly don't care. Like, I would actually like for a lot of things to be available, but that's like I don't care that much. I just want them to say what the truth is, because 100 games aren't going to be available.
No.
And his last name is Prada.
Trickled out. And he's got a real Prada bag.
Yeah, and this is disappointing. Bedroom coders need not apply. When the service was first touted, it sounded like Nintendo were going to be accommodating, was going to be accommodating, not were, you jackass. I know you're British. Okay, fine. Nintendo was going to be accommodating small teams with big ideas. Not necessarily true. What they actually meant was small teams from big companies. You still need to be a licensed developer to get a game on the service, and becoming a licensed developer in Nintendo's eyes is neither easy nor cheap.
It's not.
So we can't make our own games, which is bullshit. XNA, here we come. Feature sets.
You know, I was about to say that, but I decided not to.
Well, I did. Feature sets. Developers will have access to the Wii's full set of functionality, but will be forced to use none of it.
What?
That is terrible grammar for someone who writes. I will smack you over the head. You don't deserve to write. It should read, developers will have access to the Wii's full suite of functionality, but will not be forced to use all of it. Jackass. In other words, if a game... And he gets paid by Kotaku. In other words, if a game wants to use Wii Connect 24, save to an SD card, and feature online multiplayer, great! If it just wants to be downloaded and played with a GameCube controller, great. So they're not going to enforce any standards, which is awesome, as we know. You know, it worked out so well for not enforcing a 480p standard so that, oh yeah, my TV lags when I try to play 480i games, or it doesn't work with some 480i games, or it lags when it tries to play 480p games because it's a 1080p TV and it doesn't upscale. But that's okay because Nintendo didn't want to force a standard. Yeah, thanks, Nintendo. No demos. Thanks again. You won't be able to try before you buy. WiiWare won't be allowing users to download and play demos of games before purchasing them. Nintendo felt that forcing them to come up with a potentially costly demo ran against the whole point of the service. Instead, it sounds like they just want you to check everybody's Nintendo, which must be launching before May 12th, which is the new channel. Watch a trailer or two. Make your purchasing decision based off of that.
I guess.
This turned from like okay news to like complete bullshit.
Yeah, I'm a little disappointed.
I'm very disappointed. This is bullshit. Like, it was like, hey, WiiWare news! 100 games available, but not really. Oh, yeah, by the way, you can't make your own games. Oh, yeah, by the way, you might not be able to have standardized shit. Oh, yeah, by the way, we won't give you demos. So that's like one piece of good news out of four. Sorry. Thanks for the statement, GDC.
Well, you know what they say. One out of four ain't bad. Oh, wait. That's not
right.
That's
pretty bad. this is pretty funny. Microsoft. It gets funnier when we get to the end of the week.
Much
Microsoft
funnier.
Not worried about HD DVD. This is from Mike Fahey over at Kotaku. Sure, HD DVD is pretty much dead, but that doesn't matter to Microsoft one bit. Their official statement is, quote, "We do not believe the recent reports about HD DVD will have any material impact on the 360 platform or our position in the marketplace. As we've long stated, we believe it's games that sell the console, and the Xbox 360 continues to have the largest next-gen games library with the most exclusives and the best-selling games in the industry, except for Wii Play. We will wait until we hear from Toshiba before announcing any specific plans around the HD DVD player, the 360 HD DVD player. HD DVD is one of the several ways in which we offer a high-definition experience to consumers, and we will continue to give consumers the choice to enjoy digital distribution of blah, 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 blah. So, yeah, I mean, everybody knows that HD DVD went out of the picture the same day as Fidel Castro stepped down. Linked together? I believe so! I think Castro was...
HD DVDs are communists.
I think Castro was controlling us with nanites that go into our HD DVD players... through the AC DVD mediums, and there's subliminal advertising to like to buy Cuban cigars and pay Cuba double the price for them, and then like wear a red flag and, you know, Sieg Heil and all that shit, even though that has nothing to do with communism. Sieg Heil.
Absolutely.
Yeah. But yes, Microsoft not worried about HD-DVD, and nor should they be. I mean, it's a gaming system. There you go.
Yeah. That's exactly.
It. It's really
not like
funny.
They were built in with a HD-DVD drive, and they needed to sell the movies in order to make money.
Yeah, it's really funny because there was one of the bloggers on my friends list kind of went off about this, and he was just like, Sony fanboys are going off and saying that, like, oh, this is the end of Microsoft, and no, he's like, this is Sony's big time to shine, and they're going to emerge victorious in the console wars. That's complete crap. You know, Sony's going to still lose money. They're not going to catch the 360. That's a fact. And I'm just like, okay, dude, calm down. Calm down there.
Slow down a notch.
That has nothing to do with it. Microsoft's losing money, too. It might help Sony sell units. That doesn't necessarily mean that it's going to sell games for the Sony platform. It doesn't mean that Microsoft's going to die. Because I'll give you one example. Dave is the biggest anti-video game nerd ever. Like, he loves entertainment except for video games. Like, he has not paid attention to a single video game since Clax.
Yeah.
Which came out in the 90s. Okay? And he bought a PlayStation 3 because it was the best Blu-ray player. He does not plan on buying a single PlayStation 3 game. As soon as he got the Blu-ray remote for the PlayStation 3, he put his DualShock 3 in the closet in a box.
Nice.
He's like, he's never going to use it.
Wait, DualShock 3?
I'm sorry. Sux Axis.
Oh, okay.
DualShock 3 already? They didn't pack it in yet, no.
Oh, okay.
But so that's it for that one. Be sure to listen later from Microsoft. But first, kill Uwe Boll in Postal 3. That's all you need to know.
Yeah. Yeah.
Let me read this. This is Kotaku, Brian Crescente. I got a chance to check. He says, Postal 3, and for a second there, I read that as Portal 3. Postal 3 is shaping up. I got a chance to check out the shooter at GDC with Running with Scissors founder Vince Desai, or Desai. I don't know, and I don't care.
Desi, like Desi Arnaz.
Hey, Lucy.
What?
Desi Arnaz.
Oh, God. In Postal 3, the postal guy is in need of some cash, so he walks to an employment office and up to a bulletin board to find a job. The only listing available when I saw the game was for environmental maintenance specialist at Ron's Porn World.
Yeah.
Wow! Force the funny, why don't you? Just like Uwe Boll's Postal movie. Let me see. I'm trying to find the part where he talks about Boll.
I can do that.
Here we go. The Postal Babes won't be the only surprise appearance in the game. Desai says he's working to get half a dozen or so celebrities to okay likenesses for the game. While he wasn't ready to tell me who was on the shortlist, he did confirm one person. Quote, Uwe Boll will be in the game, end quote, he said. Quote, you can kill him. So there you go. The only reason to, and Antipode in chat says, hey, I wanted to read that. My bad. You can go ahead and read that.
Oh, it's too late. I already said it twice. I said, yeah, I'll take care of that, and you can read it.
I didn't hear that. Would you like to press the button on the elevator instead? Would you like an ice cream? Or shall we move on to Microsoft cuts indie royalties in half? No ice
cream
for you.
Let's have them cut indie royalties in half.
Brian Crescente says, news of Microsoft's democratization of indie game development was overshadowed this week by an increasing discontent among the established indie developers that the company was having the royalties paid to them for future Xbox Live Arcade projects. So, half! I want half your money! Or shit. Did he say money or shit?
Both.
Okay.
Money and shit.
Several developers directly affected by the cut told Kotaku that the once generous royalty share of 70% given to them by the company was in the past few months cut down to 35%. The move, some believe, may be tied to Microsoft's future reliance on recently announced initiative to deliver games using the company's XNA software package, yada, 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 yada. So, bitch moan, getting half the money, I hate this.
Mm-hmm.
Followed up by Microsoft responds to the royalty cut. Again from Brian Crescente. Earlier this morning, we ran a well-sourced rumor about Microsoft having the royalties they pay to indie developers for the games they create for the Xbox Live Arcade. Microsoft just responded to our request for comment with this statement, quote, Xbox Live Arcade has long been known as the premier destination for digitally distributed original and classic games, making it a very appealing platform for game developers.
We don't disclose details on our business contracts, but what we can tell you is that we work closely with all of our partners to provide the Xbox 360 community with the best entertainment possible while making publishing a title on XBLA an attractive prospect. In other words, we do not comment on rumors and speculation, and yeah, we cut that shit, bitches.
Exactly.
Yeah, so Crescente says, while not really a confirmation or a denial, it does sound as if they are reacting to our multiple indie developer sources told us was fact. So yeah, you guys are assholes. He's an asshole.
An asshole.
More news. Still Alive from Portal is on Rock Band. And no, that's not a lie. So everybody feel free to squeal, smile, and sperm your pants. Okay.
Or not do anything because you don't know what the song is.
Like us, yeah. But yeah. I will soon when I play Portal. Unreal Tournament 3, hindered by deadlines and console port, says Epic. This is from Game Life blog by Ernest Cavalli. Epic Games feels that one of the biggest issues with the recently released Unreal Tournament 3 is that due to the inclusion of console-friendly features, which is necessary for the PS3 version, the game lacks a lot of necessary polish. Not only did UT3 senior producer Jeff Morris point to the obvious user interface issues, which Epic's president, Mike Katz, described simply as, quote, fucked. But he also revealed that a lot of polish the company wanted to put into the title was simply not possible, thanks to the constricting deadlines they had created for themselves by opting for a planned simultaneous PC and PS3 release. Thankfully, Morris added, the issue doesn't affect the most important aspect of the game, the blazingly fast weapons-based combat, but after hyping new additions such as the title's plot and the character customization, only to have those features revealed to be quite underwhelming, let's hope UT3 isn't considered a misstep in 5 years, which is how they considered UT2003. But yes, console port, lack polish because of rush deadline. Now, I want to get your thoughts on this, but my opinion, before anyone jumps to anything, they decided to have this deadline themselves. It's not like people can run out and say, oh, the console port made the whole game watered down. By the same token, my past experience with, you know, PC and console games is that the PC game doesn't take advantage of the hardware, one, and two, ends up just being rushed because they don't care. Because there are no as a tester for company XYZ, what were the standards like on PC testing as compared to consoles?
See, it's different because company XYZ, which everybody knows is ACCLAIM.
Merry claim.
They primarily developed for consoles. I think it's different when you have a game that is being made for PC,
right,
and being ported to consoles. Like, for example, when we were working on some games that had PC ports, they were,
right,
PC ports.
Oh, but I'm talking about, like, in general. Like, I know that this PC thing is different.
Oh, you're just talking about in general.
Yeah, that's why I said in the beginning, like, people shouldn't jump to say that the PS3 is going to ruin PC games. I'm just saying that, like, for general, the standards for testing a console port, like, I was assuming that they were much less harsh because, in my experience, the games that came over to PC or the games that launched on PC and console simultaneously were often felt shoddier. And I wanted to get your view on, as a tester,
yes,
what standards did you have to go by when you tested the PC version, either the PC port or the simultaneous PC version?
Well, we had to make sure it worked.
Well, that's strict.
I'm really not lying here. We just had to make sure it worked. Like, you know, we tested it with, like, one computer, well, two computers that each had, like, one had an NVIDIA card and one had an ATI card. And we tested it to make sure it worked on different resolutions.
Wow.
And played through the game. It's really, really weak when you have a whole list of shit that you have to adhere to for Sony and Microsoft and Nintendo, whereas the PC is like, make sure it works and make sure you can play through it, and if it crashes, just like write down the error code and we'll,
send it into tech support.
We'll send it over to the devs.
Here's just this one thing, this one singular thing that stood out to me. There's a port of Turok 2, which was complete shit, by the way, to the PC from the N64.
Mm-hmm.
And I played it a dorm hall friend's place. So I enter my name, but I can't use the keyboard. The simplest little thing. Okay, I'm playing Turok 2 on a PC, but I have to use either the mouse or the gamepad to enter my name. I can't just type it in.
Yeah, that's called lazy.
Such a simple little thing. And it's strange because I think for a lot of PC games, for a lot of console games, the default is no when you want to take something, overwrite the save, yada, 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 right? Like the default's no so that you don't accidentally overwrite stuff. Mm-hmm. For a lot of PC games, the default is yes.
Yeah.
And it's like this because they have no fucking standards in place. Anyway, this kind of got trailed off. But yeah, what is your opinion on Unreal Tournament 3 specifically?
I thought that game came out already.
No, it did come out, but they're talking like, oh yeah, it wasn't as good as we thought as we wanted it to be because we had to rush this shit for the PlayStation 3 port.
That sucks because they really should have focused on the PC and got the PS3 version out later or something. I mean, not like the PS3 is really selling enough to warrant. Anyway, yeah. They should have focused on PC because that game, it should have been robust.
Right.
If it's not.
Now, question. It says, due to the inclusion of console-friendly features which are necessary for the title's PS3 version, you think it was feasible that maybe they put the PC version as is and then adapt it a little bit for the PlayStation 3 version? Because there's no cross-platform play.
Yeah, that's what I was referring to. Oh, like, okay. Get the PC version out and then tailor-fit it to the PS3.
Or have a separate team work in parallel.
Right, team. That's probably what they did. But the separate team probably had to wait for assets from the PC version, so they couldn't get too far ahead.
But I don't think that separate team that was working in parallel worked specifically on console-friendly features, because it sounds like they're saying that that both versions are the same, meaning that the PC version also has those console-friendly features, which makes it a little bit watered down. Now, I'm not sure. I have not played this myself, so anybody who owns the PC version of Unreal Tournament 3, let me know if there are, like, what's it called? If there are, like, you know, little concessions made or things missed, such as not being able to type in your name. Mm. But that should not be an issue anymore because PS3s can take in keyboards now. Moving on, though. Square Enix, who's stupid, doesn't want to support Virtual Console because they want to milk the Final Fantasy Remake game for PSP and DS and not put game on Virtual Console for $8, says they've renamed the Final Fantasy engine. It used to be called the White Engine, but now it's called Crystal Tools. But the reason why I'm even bothering this is that it now supports Wii.
Yay.
Speculate. Run amok, Wii. Al. Speculate.
They're going to wind up making Final Fantasy 13 for the Wii. Yeah. I mean, no. It's not going to happen.
We're going to have some emo bitch slicing people up with swords.
You know, it's like, I hate myself. I'm going to cut you guys. And when I'm done, I'm going to cut my wrists. In the corner.
Remember, it's up the river, not across the freeway. let's see. But some of the Crystal Tools features will work on Wii, although it's a secret. What?
It's a secret. So basically, it's specular lighting. Yeah, you can get that that light in the corner. That's supported by the Wii.
The light.
All
in the
that other shit has to be toned down. But that light from that lamp across the street in the back. That's support on the Wii.
Street in the back. Yeah, so, I mean, this opens up more possibilities for Square Enix to work on Wii more than they have been. If you ask me,
probably
like, looking
WiiWare.
At... Huh?
Probably WiiWare more than anything.
Yeah.
Like, what, My Life is a King?
Oh, yeah, that's right, the Crystal Chronicles port. Not the port, sorry, the version. But, I mean, if Square Enix has shown anything, it's that they know how to work with any console's hardware. I mean, they're making some... despite the fact that the DS has, like, kind of shitty 3D, you know, they make stuff look good on that. I mean, if anyone's seen the Final Fantasy IV screenshots for the remake, if anyone's played Final Fantasy III on the DS for the remake, you know, if anybody's played Dragon Quest Monsters Joker, which is what Enix put out, but, you know, Square Enix is the same thing... which I reviewed, plug! You know, they know how to make games look good on the DS. They know how to make games look good on the PS2.
Certainly, Dragon Quest 9.
Yeah, you know, they know how to make games look good, period. So, with the exception of Final Fantasy XI ported to the 360, which took 60 minutes to install, you know, they know how to make hardware sing. So I'm glad that they've, you know, made their engine support Wii, because it just makes it that much easier for them to make pretty shit look good, you know?
Right.
That said, it won't be in 720p, and this will still lag on my TV. Nintendo to... I don't even want to read this one. This just makes me angry. I'll read it anyways.
Nintendo, do you want me to read it?
You can read it if you want. Would you like to read
it?
It's
unwired. It'll screw up everything.
Nintendo to begin charging money for some online gaming.
Yeah.
Chris Kohler from Game Life says this. Nintendo's Wi-Fi connection service has always been entirely free of charge, but the company will soon introduce a pay-to-play service for some games, it announced at GDC. Nintendo Wi-Fi Connection Pay and Play will let users subscribe on a game-by-game basis to certain titles. Nintendo project leader Takashi Aoyama announced the service at GDC, but did not say what upcoming games will require payment for the service or how much they would cost. To avoid customer confusion, Pay and Play games will have a red icon on the game's box that reads Pay and Play in place of the traditional blue Wi-Fi connection icon, which will be only used for games that are free to play. This is a pretty big change for Nintendo, who has always been adamant about wanting online gameplay to be free. I understand that maybe some games might need pay, but their whole, like, reasoning for taking so long to get with the online program is, we wanted to come up with a model that was free for you and free for us. Mm-hmm. And now they're just going back on that. They're saying, yeah, we know, we took a whole console generation to get with the program because we wanted it to be free. And even though we're late, and even though everyone has much better online than us, and even though we suck because we haven't been in the online game, that bullshit in 1990 or 1985 doesn't count. I'm sorry, Perrin Kaplan, it doesn't count. Okay? Oh, even though all our shit sucks, it's free because we wanted it to be free for you, and that's why we waited, and that's why it sucks. Oh, wait, now you're going to have to pay. Which, yeah. it's just upsetting that, like, it's bullshit. It's like when Sony was like, oh, yeah, Microsoft doesn't have real backwards compatibility. Where were that shits at? Oh, wait, we got to save money. Let's take it out. Sorry, guys. So, hopefully it's, you know, what I will be reading soon and not what I think it is, which is, like, some games you just have to pay and there's no way around it. But what were you going to say?
Oh, it's completely unclear. And I'm just reading. I was reading an article from Kotaku, which is a reference from Mark Wilson, he quoted Aoyama as saying that Nintendo will begin collecting fees for some services that will allow us to adapt flexibly. And he paraphrased it by saying that by subsidizing additional unnamed service and feature costs to consumers, Nintendo feels that they can explore new concepts and channels, which basically means, I guess, they want to do more with the online service that is currently available. I don't know what that is yet.
Right.
But they're not ready to take that risk to take the expenses themselves, so they're going to charge consumers to do this extra shit, which might be like subscription-based play. Maybe they'll come out with an MMO, or maybe it will be what you're about to say.
The downloadable add-on content, which I've been waiting for. Nintendo will begin offering downloadable content for Wii. Chris Kohler says, Wii games will soon be able to download add-on content, said the project leader, same guy. DLC has been a big part of Microsoft and Sony's online business, but Nintendo has thus far not allowed games to have downloadable content on Wii. For example, the Wii version of Guitar Hero 3 doesn't currently let you download new songs. So, I will not pay for anything except if there's a new Guitar Hero pack on Wii and I had the Guitar Hero game on Wii, which I don't, I would pay for that. Rock Band came out on Wii. It's going to come out on Wii. I'm sorry. I should say when Rock Band comes out on Wii, let's hope that this service is ready. I would gladly pay for content. So, please, offer me new content like a new planetoid for Mario Galaxy. That would be kind of cool. Never mind the fact that I don't yet own the game.
Or that the game is already set in place.
Yeah.
But still. Mario Galaxy 2.
Yeah. Microsoft wasn't worried about HD-DVD, and therefore we come to our last or third to last news story in which it kills off the 360 HD-DVD player.
Bye-bye.
It's done. Michael McWhorter says, let there be no more speculation about Microsoft's stance on HD-DVD. The company issued a statement today that would no longer manufacture the Xbox 360 add-on following Toshiba's decision to bail out on the HD disc format. It reiterated that the death of the HD-DVD format would not have any material impact on the 360 platform, but it surely scuttles any talk that the Redmond Giant has for a 360 with a built-in drive. We expect fantastic deals on the accessory and discs to flood cheap-ass gamer within hours. So yeah, if you want a cheap player with a dying medium, jump on that HD-DVD player. I know there are a lot of people out there going like, oh my god, there's going to be a fire sale. I don't care that Blu-ray is winning and the HD-DVD is dead. I'm going to get my HD-DVD player and I'm going to get this movie player and, you know, I'm going to have so many better movies than Blu-ray because I'm going to have HD-DVD for cheap. Good luck when your player breaks and there's no one there to support it because it's a dead format.
Or when your favorite movie comes out later and there's no HD-DVD format.
Right. Oh, I could just buy Blu-ray later. Enjoy that that $50 that you could have spent playing Portal 2, which has been kind of confirmed by Valve, but it was kind of half-assed, and it won't be $50. Don't worry. This is by Nick Brecken on Shack News. Valve's acclaimed puzzle-action hybrid Portal will be given a sequel, according to the game's designer, Kimberly Swift. Quote, well, I believe Doug Lombardi, who was our lead marketing director at Valve, has announced Portal 2, she said in an interview with G4 TV. So that was kind of like a... I think we're doing it kind of thing. So not I think we're doing it, but like, you know, yeah, we're doing it. I think he announced it. I think it's okay for me to say.
I think he said so. Yeah. Well, since he said it, yeah, I can say it. We're working on Portal 2.
Yeah. Lombardi had previously stated that more Portal was on the way, but Swift's comment is the first mention of a true sequel to be made thus far. See, I thought his previous comment was of the downloadable content variety, like, oh, you'll get more rooms and more puzzles. I didn't know that he actually meant the sequel, but okay. I still haven't played Portal 1. Have you?
What? No. Definitely not. I don't have a computer capable.
Really? See, I gotta find the system requirements for Portal, because... Say that, what were you gonna say?
Oh, I can hardly play Warcraft in, like, 8 frames a second sometimes.
Oh, that's...
I mean, granted... That's when, like, half the world is visible on my screen. So if I'm viewing, like, 200 players, I think that my system's going to crawl. But then when I leave that area, then I basically run at, like, 20-something. Well, so I guess I could run Portal.
Now, I remember you said that you once tried to run the Half-Life demo using... Are you still borrowing your friend's video card, the one that has whatever?
Actually, I'm borrowing my supervisor's video card, which is working properly.
Okay.
And it's a X series. I think it's a lower grade than the other one, actually.
It says that it runs on DirectX 8, you know.
So what, Portal?
Yeah, so it could scale back.
Oh, that's good.
Half a gig of RAM, DirectX 8 compatible, and a 1.7 gigahertz processor. I'm sure you have that, right?
1.4.
That's whatever. but yeah, I mean, hopefully it should be whatever. But moving off of Portal 2, which was half-assedly announced, like we just half-assedly did that news story. Activision now offering refunds for Guitar Hero 3 on Wii, which doesn't have downloadable content yet. Luke Plunkett says, so you bought Guitar Hero 3 on Wii, you got it home and found it and only played in mono. From there, things only got worse. Meaning the customer service fucked up. Well, if you're... What the hell? He says, if you're Jack of the whole fiasco. I don't know what that means, but okay.
Activision, if you are have been involved in everything.
If you're Jack. Wow.
Yeah, that's old English type
it's
shit.
Oh, yeah, he's British. Activision are now... It is now, but anyways. Activision are now offering you the chance to hit the big shiny red button on the whole sorry mess and bail out. If you visit the company support page, you're now given the option of a full refund for your purchase, which you can then take, return to your nearest gaming store, and buy a game that doesn't give you months of customer support drama.
Or so, a new copy of Guitar Hero 3 for Wii, I guess, unless they're still selling a mono.
Yeah. I don't know if they fixed them yet, either. Like, they haven't said anything.
That fucking blows.
But yeah, this is so fucked up. At least they're conceding defeat. I don't see anything good coming out of this, but at least they've conceded that they're jackasses. They're going to give you back your money, and that Rock Band is kicking their ass in terms of quality. Anyway, that is it for the news. Any straggling news stories that you want to push?
No.
Let's move on! Get a bag of shit. We do what we must because we can't. slugs now. See if he picks up. Let's see.
Let's see if he picks up.
It says, do I want to hold the current conference call and initiate the new call with Slumps? No, I don't. I want to add him to our call. So how do we do this?
Add him to the call like you would add, like, anybody else.
Invite to conference. It is ringing.
Slunkadunka.
It is ringing.
Slunkadunkadoo.
It is ringing.
Slunkadunkies.
It is ringing. He is not picking up.
Pick
he's
up,
not picking
fool.
Up. Pick up, motherfucker. He's
pick
not picking up.
Up.
Okay, I'm ending the... Oh, he's on!
Oh, shit.
The Slunks is on!
It's the Slunkadunka.
Whoa, I know.
How you doing? I want to order a Chinese food from your face. How you doing?
Commanders, Xbox Live Arcade, that's what I'm doing.
What the hell game is that?
It's, well... You know, you take advance orders, see, and then you add a dog barking in the background, and then, yeah.
So that dog, that dog
came, game.
That dog came with your XBLA download.
Yes.
In the form of like nanite machines that came out of your Ethernet port.
Yeah, they had microtransaction softed, and they added 50 points extra to their price if you want the dog. So.
Oh well. Yeah. Is that to make up for the fucking downtime?
Yes.
It's like you have Undertow already.
Here's Undertow, and we know it wasn't the best we could give you, so here's a dog barking in the background.
Well, yes, this was totally random. We're calling you during our bag of shit segment. Do you have a bag of shit game to contribute today?
Oh, that's weird. I didn't know I was on the air.
Yes, you are!
Well, now I take back everything I said, and I actually love Microsoft, and please don't sue me. let's see. A bag of shit game. Well, I brought up Undertow, and I'm sure a lot of people would say Undertow, but I completely think the opposite, and you shouldn't complain about a goddamn free game.
That fucking
get it yourself.
Free on the merits of shitty service.
But anyway, bag of shit game. I don't know. Am I the last one to go right now?
No, we haven't even started yet.
Oh. Well, then, start and give me some time to think, and then we're good.
Okay, Al, what is your bag of shit game?
My bag of shit game is Bomberman Tournament for Game Boy Advance. That game is awesome when you play multiplayer, because it's standard Bomberman. But single player, there's no such thing as a good single player Bomberman in my point of view at this point.
having been assigned to Bomberman Land, I will have to agree with you, but go ahead.
Yeah. Have you ever played an overhead adventure game, kind of like Zelda? I mean, everybody's played Zelda, right?
What's that?
You know, Zelda, the game with the little elfin boy named Link.
The dude with the tights? The ballerina dude? Yeah, I kind of played
it. He has, like, a sword and shit? Yeah. So, you know, you want to... And you, like, stab shit, and you can, like, burn down trees with a candle, and you have bombs that blow up stuff.
Rated M for sure.
Now, imagine if the only game you had, the only weapon you had was a bomb. One bomb. And it took 3 seconds for that bomb to explode.
Oh, shit.
Watch out. I'm planting this. Don't avoid it.
And on top of that...
First suicide.
Most of the screens that you had to clear just had a whole shitload of obstacles that you had to blow up with your 3 second bomb. So it's plant bomb.
So you're basically traveling across, like Zelda, you're traveling across the land and you have to get places. And in order to get places, you plant bomb, wait for wall to crumble, go to other wall, plant bomb, wait for it to crumble, go to other wall, plant bomb, wait for it to crumble.
That's kind of how I remember single player in Bomberman back on the Genesis, but, I mean, that was back then, so, I mean, it wasn't that bad, but who played single player, seriously, for Bomberman in general?
Ew.
Yeah, I mean, like, alright, for example, I still have, actually, Bomberman, Super Bomberman for Super Nintendo. That game was much better single player than Bomberman Tournament.
Why, because was it just the party mode with CPU players?
Exactly, because all of us, there's a whole bunch of enemies, and you had to kill the enemies and clear the level, and you go to the next stage. And then you kill the enemies, you clear the level, go to the next stage. In this, it's like, okay, I got to get from point A to point B. And between point A and point B, there's a whole shitload of trees, rocks, and a couple of enemies here and there.
And the thing is, it's not like, oh, I'll just blow up this rock and I'll get to the next screen, even though there's like a ton of rocks all around. Rocks sometimes have money under them that you need to buy shit.
Just like in real life.
Want the money, and in order to get the money, you have to make sure you've exhausted all the resources in the area to get your money. And hearts, if you get hit or if you mistakenly run into your own bomb, you lose heart. And if you lose all your hearts, you die, and you gotta go way back to where you were. And it's like very slow to the point that even the parts that actually do give a little bit of fun, they just not as fun. Because you get to raise these little animals called Carabong, kind of like Pokemon.
Carabong?
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 No, K-A-R-A-B-O-N, Carabong.
Okay.
And what it is like you start with this, like, really Pikachu-looking thing. It's like a little mouse with punching gloves, I think. I don't even remember.
Punching gloves.
Yeah.
A pugilistic rodent for the future.
And you pit it against another one, and you basically fight them, and once they fight and gain levels, and you, like, feed them shit to gain stats, and you can breed them. And, like,
pieces of
not
shit
really
for
breed
breakfast?
Them, but, like, fuse them. And they fuse into better Carabong sometimes. And that is pretty appealing, but it's very few and far in between, to the point where it's like, you know, you feel like you want to finish the game, but you just don't want to finish the game. So you put it away.
I have a question for your hair.
What?
Now, how stupid do the enemies have to be to actually run into the fucking bombs that you set?
They have to be very stupid.
And are they very stupid?
Patterns.
Are they that stupid?
Don't they just walk on patterns and then you have to, like, time it?
Yeah, but sometimes, you know, their pattern is too smart for your three-second bomb.
Three-second bomb?
and granted, all right, granted you do get some of your abilities. Like, you get the ability, I think, to, like, kick a bomb down the way, or you get the ability to plant more bombs, but all it really does is take like 2 seconds off of your bombs, because basically you put down two bombs each with a 3 second timer, and it just really doesn't work out to the point where, oh, I now have four bombs, I can get through this stage in no time. It's like, oh, I have four bombs, now I get to put four bombs down and wait for them to explode, and then put four more bombs down and wait for them to explode enough for 20 times before I get through the freaking stage.
You sound like you love that game so
much. It's not fun at all.
I guess you could just think of it as like Zelda, where you're running around smacking bushes, except for each time you want to smack a bush, you have to wait 3 seconds.
Exactly.
Okay.
So, basically, I bought that game for the single cart multiplayer Bomberman battles. That's the only thing that's good about it, and I will stand by that comment.
Has the slug started his Dagashi game?
Nay. But yay. Nay, but yay. I'm yaying that I nayed.
Thanks, that works.
I have a couple games that I could probably bring up. A couple. And that's more
Shoot.
Than one. That makes
Go
sense.
Ahead.
Actually,
no, bring him up. Bring that shit up, like penis, Eric.
well, the thing is that I don't order a lot of crappy games because I'm smart with my money most of the time. one game I did receive along with my PSP, though, back when I got it. I don't own a PSP anymore. I traded in for the
Star Hero 3.
Yeah, and it was well worth, unfortunately. But it was one of the games I got was Coded Arms, and it's basically here's a first person shooter, here's an analog stick, and here's some buttons, and there you go. It's like basically kind of like Doom, but you can look up and down, I guess, so it's actually 3D.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing is that you move around with your little nubby stick there, and then on the Xbox circle and triangle buttons, you're using that aim.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's like GoldenEye.
Well, here's the thing. If you want to look diagonally, just think about it for like half a second. Enemies are flying at you, and you're going, what the fuck? And
do I press triangle and square, or triangle and circle, or triangle and X? Which
and like
way I look?
You have to hit two buttons at once. It's just so clunky, and it does not work at all. And the levels were extremely short, and the load times were extremely long. And the weapons, the only thing that was cool about it, I thought the weapons were pretty interesting. It was kind of like, I wouldn't say like Ratchet and Clank or anything, because those are more goofy, but it was kind of like, it was similar to Doom or something, where all these different weapons you got, and they all do different things. It's,
right.
But, you know, all in the end, it's just a different way to kill some guy. And well, some crazy cyberspace demons, because that's where the game actually takes place, I believe. And it just kind of doesn't matter what weapon you have, because looking around in that game is just so damn clunky. You're not going to kill anything. You're probably going to get past the first couple levels and then die, because the levels start to increase in difficulty. Well, not really in difficulty, but there's just more stuff on the screen and you just can't handle it. Yeah. So, yeah, Code of Arms. A lot of people probably have been through that game, because it was one of the first of the eight games that were released with PSP or something like that. So.
It was a Metroid Prime Hunter's killer. Oh.
Sure.
Oh. Now, let's talk about a game that you do like. What's Lost Odyssey like?
I actually reviewed it. You can check out my review on talkxbox.com.
Oh, you're still with them. That's good.
I recently rejoined with them. Trying to get in some of my writing skills. Got to get that skill up.
And get that money.
Yeah. Well,
money.
Yeah, I'm actually working a real job for the money, but I'm working for them for experience/free games. So.
So they're not paying you in anything, not even hookers.
You never know. But
before you go on, are you on there as your real name or as Slunks? Like, do they use handles or do they use real names?
They use I believe for the article it was just my Slunks, but there was another article that we did. What we want to see in Gears of War 2 just recently went up.
For that, they used. Okay.
Yeah, like, they, it doesn't matter. They switched up sometimes. So.
Go to talkxbox.com and look for reviews by Slunks.
You probably won't. Well, by now, you'll see it on the front page when you're listening to this. But, however, right now, it is not on the front page.
Oh, okay.
So they're still working on it. We have lazy people right now.
And if you don't see reviews by Slunks, you can see him on our site, too. Shameless cross promotion.
My one review.
And if you don't see him there, you can see him at www.gamespot.com/users/what?
Slurks!
But, give us a ballpark and overall so that we don't spoil your review, but thumbs up, thumbs down, thumbs sideways?
Okay, you get three thumbs up if you like JRPGs.
Okay.
You get two thumbs ups if you just kind of like the genre, even the slightest bit. You get a thumbs up if you're just there for the story, and you get a thumbs down if you're a jackass and just don't like games in general.
Okay, so I take it it's somewhat decent.
That game is amazing in some aspects. It's like the gameplay of it, like you said, not to spoil my review, but the gameplay of it isn't quite up to par.
It's like traditional, I've heard.
Yeah, and that's kind of a throwback in a way. It's not what they were going for in the first place. I believe Sakaguchi-san mentioned that in a Kotaku article. And the changes they do, they are minor, but they do add something. There's a little timing system for each attack that you do.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, it's like a Gunblade.
Yeah, and you equip these different rings, and the better timing that you have will allow you to use the ring to its full power. So if you get a perfect, and you have a wind ring on, and the enemy is an earth monster, then he's weak against wind. You're going to get full power out of your wind ring, and pretty much just slaughter his ass up. So yeah,
and asses.
Yes. And just little things like that are cool, and there's a couple other additions to the gameplay. But other than that, it's really, really about the story. Maybe not the plot of the story, because it is a little run-of-the-mill, but the characters. Yeah. The delivery is, I guess you could say, is great, but it's just like the main... It turns out to be, oh my God, there's a guy trying to take over the world.
Right. Now... To cap it off, did you play Blue Dragon?
I wrote a preview for that a while ago when the demo came out. I'm still rather embarrassed over that because I, judging from the demo, I figured the story would pull through.
And it didn't.
And it didn't. And in my preview, I stated Blue Dragon has a great possibility of becoming one of the better games of the year.
Yeah, well, it's a preview. I mean, there's no
reason. I mean, yeah, but it's just funny looking back now.
You're like, whoops, no, it wasn't.
Yeah, but I
it's all your fault.
Editor's note. No, it wasn't. Sorry.
Editor's note. No, it wasn't. Disclaimer, this was written before we knew anything. Whoops. Yeah. But so would you say then that you said that Lost Odyssey's gameplay was more traditional. From what you played of Blue Dragon, is it also similarly traditional, or are they kind of two different wavelengths?
I'd say they're two different just because, I don't know, the combat in Blue Dragon kind of felt slow, whereas Lost Odyssey is in the same aspect. It's slow, but you're doing something at the same time with the timing system. It feels like you have to... You're not just hitting attack, and then he attacks the guy with his crazy kung fu chop, and then the Blue Dragon comes down, and he does the kung fu chop, too. It's Lost Odyssey, it's, okay, I'm attacking this guy. All right, now he's doing, like, a little Gears of War camera in the warfield, kind of run up to the enemy, and you gotta hold in the right trigger, and then the circle zooms in on the enemy, and then you gotta let it go, perfect timing, and then, you know, there's a lot more going on in the combat, and the animation in the combat is pretty interesting. A lot of the spells look nice and stuff like that. One problem that might turn around away people is that there's a lot of rumor of, oh my god, long load times, and oh my god, horrible frame rate.
Right.
And the load times, they're noticeable. I think Kevin Van Ord from GameSpot.com kind of accidentally misjudged from the review copy.
What actually happened was that Microsoft sent out different code. They sent out review code, but in the actual retail disc,
which is
what they didn't get. You know, it loads faster. So I think he basically blogged that, and you can see it at GameSpot.com/user/Kevin-V.
Yeah.
He said that he re-evaluated the game. I mean, it still has the same score, but he put a note in there to say that, like, the load times are not as bad as they were, as I said they were. And I think he took away the demerit for long load times. I'm not sure. I think he took it away.
He did. So, that was the first thing I saw, is that I was, like, 5 to 10 hours in at the time. And I was like, I wonder what GameSpot gave. And I realized I'd given a 7.5, and I was kind of just looking at the emblems to see why. Right. They had the long load time emblem on there. I was like, they're noticeable, but they're not like enough. Hello, friend. Bye, friend. they're not crazy enough to like make you stop playing. Like, oh, I just can't take this load time. There's a couple times. There's a funny part. It's a couple hours in where it's just like some characters are talking and it starts loading, and it's just like load, load. Load.
Like right in the middle of a conversation?
Load. No, it's after. And then once it's done loading for about 15 seconds, it cuts to a certain character, and he goes, ha, 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 and then it just ends.
they spent 15 seconds loading for cats.
Yeah,
how are you, gentlemen?
There's like a small piece of dialogue right after that, but that's just like the... there's a lot of loading screens that you'll see. And I think that it's not the length of them that kills it. It doesn't kill it, but it's not the length of it that makes it noticeable. It's just the frequency of it.
Right.
It's like between every time a character turns their head, there's a loaded screen, and that just kind of takes you out of it a little bit. But
I gotta turn left. Load.
Yeah.
I gotta take a shit. 1 second. Load.
Yeah, and the frame rate. Don't even worry about that. That shouldn't be.
Yeah. Let's just talk about Mass Effect.
It only kind of jumps, or it dips down when it jumps up. It dips down when the game kind of has this like 24 camera effect.
Oh, split screens.
Yeah, and it actually the camera effects are really nice. It just kind of feels different and in a good way. But sometimes when they do it, it's just the frame rate doesn't keep up sometimes, and when there's a lot of action going on with the 24 effect on there, it's just like Kiefer Sutherland's yelling, "We're running out of frame rate!" And then, yeah, and then the world...
Son of a bitch!
Yeah. Damn. Damn! Damn! The only thing I can say, oh, Fox, damn!
Fox. Well, I know that when I was a young boy, I always dreamed of destroying a panzer tank with a sword, so this game seems right up my alley.
Yeah, I'll just say the story is very, very well with it. It's the characters and the story, it's just how they're intervened. It's really, really, really well done.
So final verdict is 3 thumbs up from Slugs if you like JRPGs.
Yes, and 1 thumbs up is up.
What now the question is, what is that third thumb? Is it safe for children? We'll let the audience figure that one out.
Well, I'll just say Tony's ass is kind of hurting right now.
Oh, shit. Yeah, you chose the perfect time to say that, too, because he's not here today.
I realize. That's why I'm saying it.
But well, thank you for taking a random-ass prank call, which wasn't even a prank call. I was going to do it, but then I was like, you know what? There's no way that we can prank him because he sees who's calling him. So,
yeah. Austin Shaw is calling.
You enjoy your XBLA game.
All right, I will. I need to beat it so I can actually go back to playing Lost Odyssey and doing all the extra side quest stuff that adds another 30 hours to my already 55 hours of gameplay.
Shit.
Yeah. Yay. That game is long, but really, really good.
Good call.
All right, man.
Thanks, guys. Later.
Bye. Later.
He removed from conference. We move on to mailbag. Mailbag, and Al has to go really, 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 really soon for work, so, like, yeah, we're gonna rush through this really fast, which means Digimatrix, your question does not get asked, because it's very long, and it would take very long for me to read it, but that's okay, because we'll get to it next week. Okay, so, the Fishnet, Brian Fishman, who is a contributor to DryGames.net, you can see him on our site, says, "Hey guys, just want to know if you've heard about this awesome new site called DrFishyPants.com. I hear it's pretty awesome and definitely not run by someone who would spam a podcast mailbox to shamelessly promote himself. Sincerely, Brian Fishman, not the owner of DrFishyPants.com, even though he is, you fucking liar. No, I have not heard about it, but I did hear that it sucks really hard. Nobody go to DrFishyPants.com. Just kidding, go there, it's pretty good.
Once again, that's DrFishyPants.com.
www.DrFishyPants.com. Cinco. Yeah, that's Brian's blog. So, yeah, it's cool. But he has a real question. Okay, I'm just curious, in your opinion, what's the best news to come out of GDC this year? A few suggestions. Portal 2, still alive for DLC as DLC for Rock Band. Puzzle Quest Galactrix, Gears of War 2, or free XNA demos. I haven't played Portal yet, unfortunately, so I'll kind of have to put that to the wayside. Otherwise, I probably would say Portal 2 because of all the things I've heard about it. I will personally say Gears of War 2 just because I liked it so much. Still Alive for DLC is awesome, but again, like, I haven't really had that much experience with it because I haven't played Portal yet. And there's so many other things that I have to get to for Rock Band anyways. So And Puzzle Quest, I like the game a lot. I just haven't been enamored by it like everyone else, so... Like, I could kind of give or take, you know? Like, if I never saw another Puzzle Quest game again, I wouldn't mind. But, like, you know, it's good. Free XNA demos are always good, but, again, Gears of War 2. You? What you want? What you want? Quick.
I'd probably have to say, because there wasn't really anything out of GDC that really made me go, "Oh, my God!" The one that made me... "Oh, my God!" The one that made me least go, "Meh," was Gears of War 2.
At least go, huh?
The least go.
Oh.
Because, like, Portal 2, I was just like, I didn't play Portal, man. Still Alive is DLC. I tried to listen to the live version of that song that they had on Kotaku. I was like, meh. And Puzzle Quest, I didn't even hear of till just now, and I haven't played the first one, so I'm like, meh. And the free XNA demos, while they sound pretty cool, and I think you could download them now until midnight tonight, which I might do, if I have time, which I probably won't, so I won't. Meh. And Gears of War 2, I'm still not finished with Gears of War, but Gears of War is a great game. And a sequel, hopefully, will be great. And I saw that there was, like, some chainsaw shit, like, in the trailer or something.
which makes me go the least meh. So I'm like, eh. So hey, the Gears of War 2, best news coming out
the least of five evils, even though they're all good announcements. Next mail from Josh Schmiel, who I owe a Mass Effect review. I'm sorry. I forgot to put it up during my lunch hour that day. If you're listening to this now, anybody in the podcast, look for a Mass Effect review from Josh. It should be up, like, hopefully Monday, because I'm a lazy jackass. I'll put it up, I promice. How do you feel about the half-assed announcement of Portal 2? Do you think it's a good idea in terms of making something that meets the very high expectations that the Portal name now carries with it? I'm sure everyone would love more Portal, but do you think they can meet those expectations? You want to go first or should I go?
You go first.
I find it very, very, very difficult to ever ever meet expectations for a game that breaks some ground. I'll use Metroid as an example. Metroid Prime, the first time I played Metroid Prime and when I finally beat it, it was, like, amazing. It still remains one of my most favorite games. It's tied with Final Fantasy VI as my favorite game ever. And it just did a lot of things for that franchise, took things in a new direction, but kept things the same. It was basically a revelation. Metroid Prime 2, good game, nowhere near as impressed. Actually, I would say that I'm not impressed at all, because it's like the first one was such a mind fuck that this one is kind of like, well, I know what to expect. It's hard to, push it more. Metroid Prime 3, great for the controls, same thing. I'm not impressed by it in terms of it as a Metroid Prime game, because yeah, the first one basically just swept me off my feet. So with regards to, now you take something like God of War versus God of War 2. God of War itself was a very, very fun, free-spirited, just really fun to play, but it wasn't necessarily all that original. So when you get to the second one, like, just doing the first one a lot better makes it that much better of a game, because it wasn't based on a very original premise anyways. So you don't have that whole mind-blowing, like, holy shit, this is a game I've never seen before, wow, type of experience with God of War, so that when the second one came out, for me at least, it was pretty easy for it to top the first one, because all it had to do was do more of it, improve the problems that the first one had, like those stupid balancing beam shit, and just make it a lot more fun. And that, I think it did that, and I really love it. So it's like, for Portal 2, which is a groundbreaking game, I think they should go ahead and make more of it. Whether they should come out with a full-fledged sequel or do the thing where they say, hey, we'll release like a room pack or an expansion pack to kind of add on to this so that you can download it to your original Portal. I don't know which one would be the best to kind of meet people's expectations. But, they're going to do it anyways. I mean, regardless of whether or not it's going to live up to the standards. And all I can ask for, if it really is the groundbreaking game that people say it is, all I can ask for it to just be good. It doesn't have to break any new ground. Just be good. So, that's what I say. You?
I say that the half-assed announcement of Portal 2 is funny.
Oh.
Because of the fact that
it was half-assed.
It was half-assed. Like, oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I think he said we're coming out with second one.
We're talking about all these different things and such and such and such with technology. And, we're trying to incorporate these things in like to Portal and stuff like that. What was that? Oh, yeah. We're coming out with Portal 2. That was just a reenactment dramatization. So please don't mark
me
as trying to duplicate what actually happened on that stage, because I have no idea. So in terms of meeting the high expectations of Portal, there are two ways they can go about this. They can give us more of the same, which I think will just give you all kinds of mixed reactions because people are just dumb that way. Or they can do something along the lines of what Slayer did when they came out with the album South of Heaven.
Oh, God. Going to the Slayer now. Let me just light a match for them.
No, basically, when they came out with Rain and Blood, it was an instant classic. It's kind of like how, if you want to compare it to Portal, it's kind of like how people reacted to Portal. Like, Portal's so groundbreaking. It's like, a classic now. Everybody's going to think about Portal and, games that are going to come out that are going to be like Portal, because Portal's not like anything else, right? So what Slayer did for South of Heaven was that they felt that they couldn't really give you more of the same of Raining Blood, because it's just so, it's so there, so classic. It's just, perfect.
So what they did was they slowed it down. And they just went a completely different direction, still maintaining who they were, but they gave you a different side of themselves. Now, if
and Valve then Little John with, sampled it.
No, that was something completely different. What Valve could do possibly with Portal is give you Portal in a different angle. I don't know how, I didn't make the game, but what they could do is give you another dimension of Portal that is not exactly groundbreaking, is still the same game, but not more of the same. If you can understand that, great. If you can't, you're in the same boat as me.
Good job! Let's see, Unlived Phalanx says, or asks, what did you guys think about the lengthy two-human demo at GDC this year? I've been eyeing this game for a bit now. Do you think it will come out before Duke Nukem Forever? They've been in development for roughly the same 10-year period. I think it's a different scenario. I mean, you take a look at Dennis Dyack. He worked on Eternal Darkness, and then he also worked on Metal Gear Solid, and he also worked on some other things, I think, between then. I mean, I'm not sure when Two Human versus Legacy of Kane series. Actually, no, he was only involved in the first one. But, like, yeah, I mean, he put out some stuff. George Brassard, on the other hand, I'm not sure what the hell he put out between Duke Nukem Forever and Duke Nukem Forever, so I don't know. But, I mean, GameStop says it'll come out in May. I will give them the benefit of the doubt because May is already a long ways off. It's already delayed from what someone else told me, which is Q1 of 08, which, you know, is about to pass in about a month. What did I think of the demo? I didn't watch it. I read about it, and I really did like what I read. I really have been liking what I've been reading about this game, like, since its inception. I've been giving it shit because there's no argument. No one can ever say that it had a good showing at that E3 when it didn't have a good showing. It just looked like shit. I thought that they shouldn't have trotted it out. I thought they should, you know, but I guess they had to, right? So everything that I've been reading about it, you know, has had me excited. I was just worried about whether or not they would actually come out in the first place. So, you know, reading about it now doesn't change what I think about it. You know, it just makes me a little bit happier that we now have something that's substantial that gives the consumers confidence that they're going to get a product this year. Do you want to say anything about that, or can I move on to just one more little busting balls thing?
Well, I didn't see the demo, and I haven't really heard much information about it. I haven't been following Two Human, but I think it'll come out before Duke Nukem Forever. I really do. I think anything will come out. I think, like, the biggest piece... I think the Phantom will come out before Duke Nukem Forever.
The Phantom. Oh. Well, Digi, I know I said I wouldn't read your letter, but I have to bust your balls on this one. Okay? Because you begin... Told you Two Human wouldn't suck balls. I don't know what that means, because unless Tony said it in a joking manner, I don't believe anyone of us believe that Two Human would come out and suck shit. Like I just said, I've always liked the premise of the game. I was making fun of the fact that it wasn't going to come out in quarter one 2008. Guess what? It's not coming out in quarter one 2008. I was right. I don't think Al ever said it would suck balls, did you?
I don't really talk about this game.
I don't talk about it.
No, I just don't follow it because I feel like it's never going to come out. So I'm like, why do you even want to pay attention to it? If it actually comes out on store shelves, I probably will just buy it. It's been so fucking long.
Well, that just doesn't buy it. Oh, it's out.
Yeah, it's like, fuck it, it's out. It's
Duke Nukem Forever, it's out. Let me buy it. $5? Why is it $5? Oh, wait.
I don't give a fuck. It'd be $70. It'd be like, yeah, you know, we had to kind of make up for those 10 years. It's now a $700 video game. Oh, really? Can this do my taxes next year? All right, fine. Yeah, let's do it. $700.
Yeah, but yeah, I just had to bust your balls on that because it's fun. You have a long letter here with a good question, but unfortunately I have to get out of here. So to give everybody a preview, he talks about Fable's death mechanic and how it was dropped. And he wants to, let's see, he's talking about the feature getting dropped. And how focus testers didn't like it, but then Molyneux kind of bent to their will. And the final point is, should games strive to be more realistic and causal in your interactions with the world? So we'll read that next week because it's really long and it probably has a really long answer. So, yes, thanks for the question. We'll do housekeeping now. Housekeeping. Go to gameslaves.net for ribbons, Gameslaves Radio. a key component in the world of life. I have no idea what that means. And, hey, Marsh, where's your podcast? Marshy Man's On Point podcast. We'll pimp it once more, but I'm going to give you the two-minute warning again. You better keep that shit up or else I can't pimp it anymore. You got that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Come on, Marshy Man. Get on point.
With the podcast. Snap! Al said get on point.
And I made a pun.
Yeah. And, of course, there's drfishypants.com, blah, blah, blah. You can also read his reviews on our site. We'll be posting some soon. Just a note, we are getting quite a few requests to pimp your shit. We're not just going to pimp it to pimp it. You are not Fishy Pants. You do not have a unique name such as Fishy Pants. So unless you come up with something like Smelly Vagina, I'm not going to pimp you anymore. I'm just kidding.
I don't even think I want to pimp a Smelly Vagina.
I'm just kidding. But, like, yeah, I just want to be known, like, I, you know, in the past, you know, Riven was kind of kind enough to pimp us without giving us any, like, you know, any, without asking for anything in return. He just said, like, look, just, you know, I will pimp you guys on my podcast even if I, you know, even if I don't deserve to be pimped on yours. So, you know, I kind of did him the favor, and I listened to him stuff, and it was good. Now, I unfortunately cannot just throw shit up there to pimp it. So, if you want to, you know, do any cross-pollination, you'll have to trust that I will have time enough to listen to your stuff. And that's kind of why I'm saying, like, Marshy Man, you know, please keep up with your stuff. Because if it kind of goes away, I can't pimp it anymore. The same thing happened with Gamers Lounge. That went away after two episodes. I can't pimp it anymore. I can't go back and say, listen to the first two episodes again. So,
well, if you haven't heard it at all, yeah. Listen to the first two episodes if you can find it.
And like, you know, for the future, if I can't, you know, pimp you guys, and by I say you guys, I mean anybody who just happens to walk in and drop an email saying, hey, can you pimp us? It's nothing personal. Just, you know, let's be reasonable here. Not everyone's going to advertise everyone, and it's just not going to work out that way, period. So unless you're really special and you have some candies for me and you have, you know, a lineup of 50 beautiful virgins as they tell the people to go to when they go to paradise.
72.
We do?
72.
Oh, dabity do.
No, 72.
70. Oh, is it 72?
Dabity do.
Oh, shit, 72. I'm going. All right, dabity-do. That's good. That's it. I'm gone. 72.
Dabity 2 versions.
But yes, for Al.
Dabity do.
For Slunks, who is playing Advanced Wars on XBLA, which is not Advanced Wars, I have been your host, 72.
Dabity-do.
And we are.
Because I'm stupid.
Yes, you are.
Shut up.
Yes, you are. Aren't you stupid, aren't you? Woo-gee, woo-gee, woo.
Just shut the fuck up.